Turn in your Bibles to the book of Micah. Before we start preaching, I've got one announcement real quick I need to make. Along with beginning to lock the offering box 10 minutes after the service ends so that the guys can count the money, we're also going to be real careful that we're not going to use that cabinet or that thing right there as a storage place for our Bibles and our notebooks and your gum wrappers and anything like that. We're going to try to keep them clear. With that in mind, there has been a Bible that has been sitting on the offering box probably for about 3 months. It is a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and it's got the name scratched off of it. That's yours. Well, too bad. It's already been sold on eBay. I ship it out tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. Write your name in your Bible. Christians will steal. All right. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Look at verse 1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desireth the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man he uttereth his mischievous desire, and so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. Amen. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Amen. My God will hear me. Right. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Amen. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask, as we gather in your name, that you would just help me to preach your word in a way that touches men's hearts. I pray that it not be anything in the flesh, but Lord, the power would be of the Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and make us more like you. I pray, Lord, that if there's any conviction that needs to be brought this morning, Lord, that it be brought. Any hope, any encouragement, any strength. Lord, I pray that whatever you desire to do with your word, Lord, that you'd be free to accomplish it. Lord, we'd not hinder you or stand in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you read the first part of that passage right there, Micah, one of the prophets of Israel, seeing the downturn and the destruction, he's certainly not writing about national revival here. He's certainly not talking about all of the Jews getting together and getting right with God and getting their nation right and getting their families right and getting their synagogues right. Seems like just absolutely the opposite is taking place. You know, it's an amazing thing. You could probably take that passage, verses 1 through verse 6. You could probably put it right smack dab in the middle of America and it would fit every single one. You've got some valid complaints, you know. Some people say, you don't have any reason to get down. But, you know, I disagree. There's a lot of reason to get down. You look around and there's a lot of reason when you look around for discouragement. You know, the good man is perished out of the earth. There's none upright. They all lie wait for blood. They may do hands earnestly. Judges ask it for reward. You know, it seems that it's hard to find somebody righteous. And when you do find somebody that's absolutely righteous, it's almost as if he's ridiculed. It's almost as if he's such an anomaly and a goody two-shoes. You find someone who's honest and upright in business. That's a really strange thing to have. Everybody, it seems, does things underhandedly. It just seems like it's standard practice to do whatever it takes to promote the company and to get ahead. This could be a description. You know, who are you going to trust today? You going to trust your congressman? There's actually congressmen out there that are investigating religious corporations for being extravagant with their money. That's kind of a laugh, you know. Congressmen being mad because somebody else is extravagant with their money. Yeah, we know exactly what congressmen do. Their job is to support all of the local projects and bring home as much money from Washington as they can. It's not their job to save this country money. It's not their job to make this country solvent. It's to reassure their reelection so that they can come in and so they build bridges, they build projects, they build buildings, and they start things, and they bring home money and make the local people happy so that they can, you know, it's hard. Who are you going to find somebody that's not self-interested? Yeah, it's getting to the point now you can't even trust the members of your own family. They got books out there on the market. You can go out there to Barnes and Nobles and find people that have written books and are making a lot of money by spilling the dirt on family members. You know, what my mama did to me when I was a child, you know, and write a whole book on it dishonoring their mother. Yeah, it just doesn't seem like society in general, and even you look inside the church, you know, you look inside the church, church in many ways is not that much better off. But I'm not going to preach on all that. I'd like to preach on the therefore that Micah came to, the response that he had, because I think this is a good and a proper response. Amen. When you find stuff like this, and a lot of this stuff that you can't absolutely do anything about. Because he says, therefore. And when he says, therefore, I'm going to be just like him. If you can't beat him, join him. I'm thankful that's not what he said. You know, that is the attitude. If you can't beat him, join him. There are Christians who used to be righteous. They used to be upright. They used to be honest in their dealings. And because everybody else around them was dishonest, they said, well, I guess I'll just go with the flow and be just like the rest of them. You know, I'm glad Micah didn't say that. If he'd have said that, that wouldn't have provided me a whole lot of encouragement. I tell you what he does say. He says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I'm telling you, this is a famous passage. This is a passage that Christians have gotten comfort from over the years. And there are some resolutions in this passage that will change your life if you resolve to do the things that he said here in this passage. I want to concentrate on four of the resolutions that he has here. And I picked them out and I labeled them. And I think they're very good. Also, they're very simple. You know, sometimes when you get a solution that is so complex, it's hard to follow. I got a book at my house on how to have personal revival, but I can't seem to follow that thing because it advocates this quiet time where you take 15 minutes of the time and then you have supplication and intercession and you go through all of these things and you make sure you get them all in and you do all these things. Man, I don't want to follow something like that. Something like that doesn't work for me. There are times when my entire quiet time is concerned with nothing else but my own woes, you know, and laying out my burdens before the Lord. And then there are other quiet times when I don't have any burdens, but I only pray for one person. I don't pray for the whole church every day. Sorry. Somebody personally asked me the other day if I would pray for them every day, and so I honored them. I said, yeah, sure, I will. But I usually don't, you know. I pray for what's going on at the minute? You know, I didn't pray for you because I was praying for Danny's leg, you know. I didn't pray for you because I was praying for somebody else. You know, I want things that are, I like to have something that I can follow, something that's simple, something that'll work over the time. First thing that he says, in conjunction with all this, therefore I will look unto the Lord. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I'm going to look unto the Lord. It's almost a trite phrase. It's almost too simplistic. I was talking with my mom the other day, and my older brother is having some challenges in his business, and in a lot of business, you know, of course, things are very competitive, so he's got some pressures and some challenges, and my mom told him, well, Ray, you just need to trust the Lord. Well, number one, that's really a blessing for my mom to say that. Yeah. Lord's really done a work in her heart. And she said, Ray, you just got to trust the Lord. You know, I've got to admit that sometimes somebody says that to me, it almost irritates me. My wife says, it's all going to work out. Honey, you don't know. She sees it, I mean, it's just going to work out, you know? I mean, but it's true. Hey, what's better than trusting the Lord? Because I tell you what, who else are you going to trust in? You going to put your confidence in somebody else? Telling you what, there's not a perfect man in here in this room that is so good and so upright and so pristine that you can count on them every single time. It just doesn't happen. But you can trust the Lord. You see, that's the resolution of faith. You want to resolve something this year? Forget about resolving to lose weight. You know, just go ahead and that body's going to die anyway. Really? Don't get so caught up with the diets and I'm really going to lose weight this year. Were you saying that for the last 15 years? Why don't you resolve to have more faith in God this year? I will look unto the Lord. You know, it reminds me of several things. And one of the things that is interesting is the way certain men are looked unto for leadership. And we have to have leaders. You know, September 11th came about. What's one of the first things we wanted to hear from? We wanted to hear from the mayor of New York. We wanted to hear from the president of the United States. We were looking unto him. We were waiting to see what his response was. There are some times that we have open meetings at night in here and somebody stands up and they start preaching and people are wondering, is that really from the Bible? And it's kind of weird. It's kind of squirrely. And you know what? It's interesting because everybody starts looking at Lindell. You know why they're doing that? They're trying to say, what's his response? If Lindell laughs, you laugh. If Lindell's down there with his head between his legs praying, you know, okay, I shouldn't say amen at this message. But you know, it's just common human nature. You kind of look, you know. It's the same thing with kids, you know. Something happens, and the first thing the kids do, you know, you hear breaking glass somewhere. All the kids look to Dad, you know. Oh, man, what's Dad going to do? You know, that's actually a good thing in a way. It shows confidence in those that are your leaders because you value what their particular response to something is. Well, you know, I wonder if it would make our lives better is when things happen and we're looking for a correct response, we're looking for a correct attitude, that we decide, what's the Lord doing right now? What's His response to a situation like this? You know, the Bible, there's a place in the Bible that talks about his servants, and it says, as the eyes of the servants look toward the hand of their master. You know, it's a paraphrase, it's not exactly, but I was looking for it right before the message because it came up, but that phrase, it sticks in my head because it's like we ought to be towards the Lord. You know, you see somebody, he's a godfather or something like that, and he can just do that with his finger, and two henchmen get up right away and they head out. Or somebody, he just flicks his head over there and somebody else instantly knows what he needs and goes after it. You know, there are some dogs that obey their master better than Christians do. You know what our dog does, especially in the morning when he's hungry? You get out there on the deck
He's wagging his tail, but he never takes his eyes off you. You know, he's expecting, he's waiting for something. And if you walk by him, you know, that dog just goes down like that. But if you say, hey, good dog, good boy, you know, what's the name of our dog again? Chewy. Chewy, he's a good, faithful dog. Love him. You just say his name, you know, you say Chewy. He just gets all excited. You know, he's just, his eyes are at his master, and he's waiting to see what his response is going to be. And he's waiting just for his food, too. I understand that. But I mean, that's how we ought to be to the Lord. That's what our attitude ought to be. Something takes place, look directly to the Lord. Instead of looking to this and looking to that and trying to gauge our responses based on what's going on in life, let the Lord be our standard. That's a good resolution. I will look unto the Lord. There is no doubt we could benefit by trusting the Lord more, trusting our flesh less, trusting God more, trusting our willpower less, trusting God more, trusting our finances less. You see, God's got the ability to take care of anything we need taken care of. I will look to the Lord. You don't get bitter looking to the Lord. You get bitter looking to men. There was a man in our church one time. He almost left the ministry. He left the church. I mean, he almost had a breakdown when Clinton got elected into office. We're trying to reason with him. Look, it's not the end of the world just because Clinton's in office. And turned out it wasn't the end of the world. But oh, man. But I'm telling you, I don't look to the President of the United States for my hope. I look to the Lord. Some days I do look to the President, but most of the time I look to the Lord. Where are you looking for your direction? Where are you looking for your encouragement? Are you looking for your strength? Some people find solace. They find comfort in all kinds of worldly things, and it's a temporary comfort. You know, it's a skill to learn, but you ought to learn to find your comfort and your satisfaction and your happiness and your well-being and all that stuff. You ought to learn to find it in the Lord. And he says, in the next resolution, I will wait for the God of my salvation. Oh, what a resolution. We could just learn to wait on the Lord. What does Isaiah say? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Not talking about the ones who decide to work out and they become strong. No, the ones who wait on the Lord. And I'm telling you something. And we are a product of right now, this minute. I mean, we are so infected with having everything right now. I mean, you'll storm out of a McDonald's if it's 30.5 seconds before you get your hamburger. You know, we can't sit down and wait. We can't wait for anything. You want everything right now. It's the reason why some people are so fast in debt now that they can never get out because they couldn't wait. You couldn't abide with that old couch. You had to have that thing right now. So you go out and you can't just get something. You got to go out and use that credit card and buy all kinds of stuff and get it right now. Well, you know, just physically we know the benefits of hanging in there, of waiting, of slowing down, of being patient. But how much more when it comes to the Lord? You want to have all those things that God has for you the day after you get saved. But you got to give God a break. Look what you've given Him to work with. I mean, you say, I want to be so-and-so, but look who you are, man. I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know what an immature baby does? Immature baby cries for immediate gratification. You want to know what a lot of your problem is? You want immediate gratification. You want to feel good right now. I got sick a while back, and somebody that had a lot of experience in medicine told me, well, you know, he says, with that kind of dizziness and vertigo, he said, 48 hours, you should be out of the worst of it. And You might have 6 weeks, but in 6 weeks you ought to start feeling better. That's not what I wanted to hear. It was 8:30 at night. By 12, you know, I wanted to be well. Forget this spinning around the room for the next 48 hours. That wasn't the answer that I was looking for. I wanted it now, you know. It's demanding. I have to have it now, you know. And there are people that get themselves in a lot of trouble because they start demanding on God that I want this right now. I'm going to have this right now. And they end up rushing the gun. They end up jumping the gun for the Lord. Well, you know, I think that if you just settle down a little bit and decide that I will wait for the Lord. You decide, look, I'm going to have a little more patience with God, and I'm going to give Him the time He needs to work out the things that He needs to work out. He'd be better off. You'd be less anxious. You'd complain less. You complain so much, oh, we're whiners. Man, we are so immature and so full of whining and irritates us. What do you think it does to the Lord? Well, I'm gonna hang in there. I'm gonna wait for the Lord. He says, My God will hear me. You know, I'm gonna tell you something. That's a resolution of confidence. There's some people, they pray one time and they get all bent out of shape because God didn't answer their prayer. Well, I wonder why that is. They pray and sometimes they say, well, it doesn't do any good to pray about this. God's going to do something different anyway. Well, you know, this is not a resolution of presumption here. He's not being presumptuous when he says, my God's going to hear me. Because he's not putting any words in the Lord's mouth. He's not telling the Lord, my God will do a certain thing. There's a lot of people out there that are praying presumptuous prayers in the name of faith. And it's not working. I remember a long time ago, I was sitting at a hospital bed. There was a young man who had contracted HIV because he had blood transfusions. And he was in the advanced stages and about ready to die. And the young man was only 17 years old. And 2 weeks before he passed away, he called on the Lord. And he didn't want messages on discipleship. He didn't want to know all of the intricacies. You know, the only Bible studies that he wanted were those that had to describe the conditions of heaven. He just resigned himself. I'm never going to drive a car. I'm never going to have a girlfriend. I'm never going to go out on a date. But I am going to heaven. Amen. And he believed that. And so we sat there and we had, and somebody came in, a family member, and some Pentecostal persuasion. And I was walking out and he walked in. And he was trying to tell him, he said, God has given me a word of this and that, and you're going to rise up. You're going to be a testimony to millions of people of what the power of God can do. I mean, he said all kinds of stuff. And then he came out to where we were, and he says, I have prayed the prayer of faith. This man will rise up. Well, that's presumption. That's not the kind of confidence that I'm talking about right here. That's not the kind of confidence that we have in the Lord. That, yeah, God is going to buy me a new car. God will do this. You know, God does whatever He wants. But the confidence is that my God will hear me. I've got it based on the Word of God. Based on the Word of God, He says, look, He says, I'm not really interested in big things that you build. But over there in Isaiah, He says, to this man will I look, even of him that is of a humble and contrite heart, and trembleth at my word. And so I have basis by saying, if I tremble at His word, if I respect His word, and I believe and obey His word, and I humble myself, and I'm contrite, and I'm sorry for my sin, then I have basis in the Word of God that He is going to hear me. Amen. There are a lot of people right now that are in trouble because they say, I'm so bad, God can't hear me. Well, no, I know that He can. And that's the confidence that we have in God, is I know He's going to hear me. You know, that's especially important if you want to keep on going for the Lord. You've got to have that confidence of knowing that God is going to hear your prayer. I've got instance after instance in this Word. Jesus Christ is walking along and people are everywhere and the crowds are talking and yelling and all these different sounds going on. And there's some blind man over there asking for mercy.
Now you tell me how Jesus heard His voice over all those other voices. Except that I think that His ear was tuned to someone. Now you walk up to God in pride, you're not going to have any confidence at all that He's going to hear you. You puff out your chest and puff yourself up and saunter up into God's presence, you're probably not going to get anything for the Lord. But if you humble yourself, you don't think too highly of yourself, if you drop yourself down a little bit, if you humble yourself, if you repent of your sins, my God is going to hear. That's a good resolution, the resolution of confidence. Yeah, we need more confidence in God. Verse 8 says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." You know, this also isn't a presumptuous statement right here. He says, "I will arise. I will get back up." You talk about a resolution. You had anything knock you down this year? You've had anything discourage you? Some of you know. Well, my hat's off to you. Most of us have been discouraged by something every now and then. It's just human nature. We get discouraged. Things don't work out the way we want them to work out. Things don't always pan out like we think that they ought to pan out, and we get discouraged. And sometimes you get discouraged because you're witnessing to somebody and they don't get saved and you want to see them saved. Or you want to see personal revival or revival in the church and you don't see it, and your expectations aren't being realized. Yeah, there's all kinds of reason for discouragement, and there's reasons why you get down. And sometimes the reason why you fall is just because you made some dumb decisions and you led yourself to the slaughter and you were the one that caused yourself to fall, and you can't blame it on the devil or the world or anybody else. Amen. I heard a guy preaching the other day, or actually it was back when we were in Alabama, and he was talking about this fact that this Christian man went into a public high school and he decided to start smoking marijuana and he started doing all these other things. And so his thing was, is the public schools are wicked and they're no place for our Christian kids. And it was the public schools that stole our child and dragged him down into the pit. Never once was there any kind of indication that it was that one young man's fault. I dare say that it was his fault that he started smoking pot, not the public schools. You know how I know this? I know that there are kids in public schools that are not falling. They are standing against the temptation. They are making choices about what they're going to get involved in and what they're not going to get involved in. It's not the public schools that tell our kids, "Hey, why don't you, during lunch, go out into the student parking lot and go smoke a joint?" That's not in the student handbook anywhere. That's not what they're all about. Well, the reason why is because we took prayer out of the public schools. Well, let me tell you, there is no government on the face of the earth that has the power to take prayer out of anywhere. You can't pray in school. Oh, yeah? Look at Tox test time. Lots of prayer going on in schools. Oh, but it's a great victory because we got the moment of silence has been preserved. You know, I could care less whether there ever was a moment of silence or whether there is a moment of silence. It doesn't bother me at all. Because I'm telling you, if you're a student and you belong to God, so they don't let you bow your head and close your eyes. Where does it say in the Bible that the only prayers God hears are the ones where you bow your head and close your eyes? You can pray while you're driving your car with your eyes wide open. No, when I fall, I shall arise. You see, it's not external things that are dragging us down into the pits of sin and despair and discouragement. The worst time Elijah ever saw in his ministry, God had to tell him, "Look, I've got 7,000 in this place that have not bowed the knee to Baal." There are people that are standing. That means you can stand too. They asked one kid one time, back captain of the football team in some place, I got it written down, and And they were asking him, you know, after a big play, they said, you know, you're a Christian and everything and you don't get involved in it. How do you handle the peer pressure? And he looked right into the camera and he said, I am the peer pressure. He turned it around. Why does the world have to set your spiritual thermometer? Why do you have to wait for things to be good to have revival in your life? Why is it that you've got to continue? Why don't you stop blaming everybody else? And why don't you start putting all the responsibility for your righteousness, your spirituality, on yourself? He says there in verse 9, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. It's me. I sinned against the Lord. But He doesn't stop there. And I'm telling you, there is not a Christian that has the right to stay down once he's down. He says, I, when I fall, I shall arise. Amen. Why don't you resolve this year that you're not going to stay down, you're going to get up again. Amen. Say, but I got up before and He just knocked me right back down. Well, get up again. Get up again. Take it as a learning experience. I know you hate for people to tell you that. Well, I hope you learned a lesson from this one. I know, but learn your lesson and get up and go again. Think in your mind like, you know, some of them old 1970s karate movies, you know, with Bruce Lee and all those guys. Some of those where the guy would be beat every bone but his thumb would be broken, you know. And all of a sudden, you see him squirm and start to stand back up and stagger a little bit and then deliver the punishing blow to his and then move like he was never hurt to begin with, you know. That a Christian can get back up. You see, because you got God on your side who wants you up. He wants you back in the fight. He doesn't want you down. Busted up on the ground, feeling sorry for yourself. He wants you doing what He has designed for you to do. He wants you fulfilling His will. He wants you obeying His word. He wants you following His example. He wants you up. Where are you going to put your eyes today? What about your resolutions for the new year? You resolve to work out. You resolve to lose weight. You resolve to eat less hot dogs from gas stations. In all those resolutions, resolve that you're going to have more faith this year. Resolve that God's going to give you patience if it kills you. Resolve that you are going to wait for the Lord, the God of your salvation. Resolve to have confidence in His ability to hear and to answer your prayers. And then resolve that no matter how bad you get knocked down, you're going to get up and you're going to go again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You've given us a new year. Lord, we have no idea what's in store this year. We have no idea what's on our horizon. But Lord Jesus, we want to be faithful to You regardless of what happens around us. Regardless of what kind of situations change, Lord, we want to please You in the things that we do. Help us, Lord, to take these resolutions that Micah had, make them our own, put them in our hearts, and live better by them. Lord, in all these things, we give You and You alone all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. You're welcome.